Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our school officials, USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Jamie Morris-Hardiman. Again, the board meets tonight at 6:30. They have a work session at 5:30 tonight at the Robinson Education Center. And coming up on the agenda, it's not an exciting meeting tonight. It's more of just kind of a business as usual tonight. But if we take a look at the new business, a lot of things like that. We got the refinancing of the bonds, which is important because that saves money.
Yeah, we've got our financial consultants coming in with a potential bond refinance. Market kind of been a little volatile, yeah. So hopefully you can take advantage of the drops in that to get a better interest rate. And usually when we do that, we're saving millions of dollars of taxpayer money, which is usually really good job.
Yeah,
really
definitely.
Good, really
definitely
good thing for our community. It. So, yeah, working through. We'll have Destin Avey there for that. Couple grant continuations for early and Head Start and Head Start. And I think we're also adding on the Manhattan Alcohol Fund grant that the city runs through our application in that. I know that's not on there, but that's something we're going to add in. We've been a part of that for years, and Kari Humes does a really nice job on her communications with that. So we got that added on. And then it's just a lot of construction. You know, we're approving a pre-engineered metal building at Ogden as part of their bond project. We try to get those in advance of the GMP, the guaranteed maximum price for Ogden, just because of the time frame on a pre-engineered building. If you don't get that in the queue with the specs done early, you're going to end up waiting a long time. So we're trying to be efficient with our time there. And then just some things, expanding the phone system, some furniture purchases, and then some normal concrete sidewalk. You know, we do actually have normal things continuing to go on too. And one thing, Matt Davis is going to give a capital outlay budget planning present, kind of a quick look of this is what we've got planned for capital outlay moving forward.
Cool. As far as the construction of the bond construction, where are we at? This is a multi-year project, but are we more than halfway done now, or we're?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would say we're definitely. I look at it two ways. One is what money's been committed, and with the money that's been committed, we're well over halfway, probably closer to 75-80% of money committed, which is good with the prices we're seeing increased on construction. Then construction projects, you know, obviously the high school, it's pretty easy to see the high school's still going to be under construction. We should finish that up mid next year. Still planning on keeping our ninth grade center for one more year, for the 22-23 school year, and then transition everybody up to the West Campus the following year. So that's continuing to go on. Then we should be starting on some of the other elementary projects. So a couple shelters going in. I believe if you've been by Northview, you've probably seen some things moving at Northview. So that's going on. We should get into Bluemont and Woodrow Wilson and Ogden this summer as well. So, and then after that, we're starting on the planning for 901 Points East Campus and start working on that in the Ed Center. And that's the last two design projects that we have. And since we're waiting for the ninth graders to get cleared out of there before we really tear in and change that up too much, that's what's going to push our time frame out. And that's okay. We'll have a good plan for it.
Mm-hmm. Refresh my memory because I don't recall, but Bluemont, Woodrow Wilson, I know those are two of the older buildings in the district. What's going to be taking place there as far as the construction?
We're adding on gym space for them that they can have a dedicated gym instead of the shared gym cafetorium. Cafetorium is what we call them. So that makes it really difficult to schedule PE around lunch periods in some of those. So it causes a lot of scheduling issues and hamstrings us in a lot of ways. So that'll give us a little more flexibility also having a dedicated space, which is possible for like indoor recess. So, you know, instead of, you know, playing heads up seven up like I used to do at indoor recess, you know, we might actually have a space for them to go run around, burn off a little energy. That's really important at elementary schools. So being able to do that at those buildings is important. And the one at Woodrow is a storm shelter. Bluemont does have a storm shelter, so it won't be designated as a storm shelter, but it'll be good space for the building to use.
All right. Very good. And another item here on the new business tonight is updating the superintendent job description. This is something that Kurt Herman is bringing to the board tonight.
Yeah, and I believe it's just a slight language change to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. So that basically covers the agenda here tonight. Again, 6:30 is when the business meeting begins. I know there's other things going on in the world of education right now, because if you just follow what's going on in Topeka, a lot of things are happening kind of behind the scenes. I don't know. They took a couple votes yesterday. Jamie, I'm sure you were watching that.
I was. Legislative activity is something that's always been very interesting to me, and it seems this year there's an overabundance of legislative activity related to the schools, which is a little concerning. Local control is an important piece of the school function. School boards are elected locally to be able to make decisions about their own districts, and so when the Kansas legislature starts messing around with those things, it gets a little frightening to me. So yesterday there was a bill in the Senate that passed that would open up boundaries to allow students to attend any school district that they wanted to based on that school district's capacity. So obviously locally you could say we don't have any capacity to take out of district students, right? We our class size is set at this. We're not willing to take any more students beyond that. But that bill is a little concerning to me just from the perspective, first off, of interfering with local control, but also the perspective that you'd have to transport your kid to a different district. So this is very limiting to people who have the financial ability to be able to get their kid to a different district. So if you felt like your district was underperforming and you didn't have the financial resources, you didn't really have any way to deal with that. And so to me, this is a little bit overreaching on the part of the Senate. It's in the House this morning. They're discussing it right now as we speak. I think it's on for 10 o'clock. So this is probably going to move forward from the legislature.
Yeah, that one's a complicated issue, and I don't know if they understand exactly how complicated it can be. I think Jamie pointed out one of the major things, which is local control, and you know, allowing the school boards to be in control of those things. I look at it from a taxing perspective. If we realize that, you know, someone coming in from out of district don't pay taxes within our district, and they can actually raise the local taxes by coming into the district, and they're not part of that tax bill. So there's a financial interest as well. And I also look at it from a point of a military community, that we have a lot of people in and out during the year. Generally, what we'll have at the beginning of the year, I will tell you, we're close to 80 elementary students up from what we were at the beginning of the year. That's a lot. That's significant. And when we have to set our cap numbers at the beginning and have to allow people in, and then we, you know, if something moves into Fort Riley, and sometimes we don't know and don't get a lot of advance notice on what to do and how to do that. So prepping, making sure we have room, and then, you know, we could be back into the situation where we're forced transferring people because we're filling up with people out of district, and then we don't have a space in certain grade levels at certain buildings. And That's a complicator in a lot of ways. So I understand the thought behind it is, you know, allowing people to have choice, but there's a reason we have districts set up, and there's a reason why the local districts get to set their own policies and controls over those things.
And it's different in different communities. I imagine in the Kansas City area, I could see how this may make a little more sense, a little higher population. But here, I mean, if you're not in Manhattan, Ogden, you're going to go to a smaller district here? You're going to go to Junction City? I mean, it's really tough.
Like, they could. And sure. I think that's always, but they can now. You know, we have several out of district students now, and we always make space as we have it available, but we want to make sure that's not pushing up numbers too much. And, you know, right now at the high school and middle school level, we're not going to probably be able to do that. And we'll be able to set a policy to be able to put that forward. Elementary, we're going to have a little more space for a little bit, but though they grow up and go to middle school and high school, where we might not. And so is that a year-to-year thing? Are they guaranteed attendance in the future, no matter what? And then we're getting back up into 27, 28, 29 class size, which, you know, that's one of the reasons we pushed the bond issue forward, moved sixth grade to the middle school, so we didn't need to fight that stuff, and we could be right back fighting that again.
Yep. So I know our local senator, Senator Hawk, voted no on that bill. So he also voted no on the other bill of note that passed yesterday, and that's the one that would ban transgender athletes. I think it only goes one way.
It's only female athletes. So if you're transgender female, you cannot participate in girls' sports.
Okay.
So you have to participate in the sport of your sex at birth. If you were born male and you are transgender female, you could only participate in boys' sports.
And I know this is a complicated issue for a lot of folks. People are going to disagree on this topic. It's just a complicated topic here. But I think I know where you stand, Jamie.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the students should get to participate in the gender that they are. And if you're transgender, you are the gender that you are saying that you are, right? If you say you're female, then you are female and you should get to participate in those activities. So I talked to Senator Hawk yesterday about both these bills and just put out a little bit of, you know, support to him. I knew how he would vote, but I wanted to make sure he knew that there were people that were behind him. So I appreciate his advocacy for education. Having come from our education system here, he's a big proponent of the school district. The transgender bill is concerning to me because it oversteps the bounds of the Kansas Activities Association, right? The Kansas High School Activities Association should be making those decisions. Again, not the legislature. There's a system in place to make those decisions, and it's not necessarily the legislature's place to make those decisions.
Who's in charge of the Kansas Activities Association? Is that under any umbrella here at the state?
Not truly. They're kind of their own association with their member schools that, you know, most schools are membership. So it's a membership-driven board, but they fall under CAPR, so they're technically fall under the legislative responsibility. So they can, but the question is, should they?
Mm. Okay. I did not know that. Learning a little something myself here this morning. All right. Well, anything else before we wrap things up here this morning, guys?
No, just looking forward to a good meeting.
All right. Well, again, 6:30 tonight is a business meeting, work session at 5:30. You can catch those meetings again on YouTube or at the Robinson Education Center. Jamie Morris-Hardiman, thank you for being here.
Eric, of course. Reed.
Thank you, Brandon.
You bet. Stay tuned. We're going to hear from Cliff Williams up next, Riley County Schools. Then in our fourth segment, we'll hear from John Cox over at Blue Valley Schools.